Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Michael Shermer. Michael Carl Sagan, the late Carl Sagan, believed that there were extraterrestrials out there, but did not believe we were visited either.
Yeah, that's right. That's my position, although, again, I wouldn't use that word, believe, because that suggests that, you know, there's evidence, and there's just no evidence yet. So when we say that they're probably out there, it's kind of a Bayesian reasoning kind of argument that you kind of assign probabilities based on the conditions that you're looking at. So, you know, 100 billion stars per galaxy, 100 billion to a trillion galaxies. There's just so many opportunities. It would be stunning if we were the only ones. It's possible, but, you know, they're probably out there. But again, I can't say I believe it, because that would suggest that I have evidence, and I don't. Nobody does. So,
would you say that eyewitness testimony is evidence?
Well, so now you're talking about the second question. Have they come here? Because eyewitnesses aren't going to help us for detecting life on some other star system, right? So here you're talking about, have they come here? No, the eyewitness testimony is just abysmal. It's terrible. Not just for that, but for court cases, for murders, homicides, and whatnot. It's terrible. You know, people misremember, they exaggerate, and, you know, memory is not a video camera that records high fidelity and you play it back in the theater of your mind. It just doesn't work that way. So it's not trustworthy. Again, from a scientific perspective, for us to say we know we've been visited, it has to be unmistakable. You know, here's an actual spacecraft or a body. You can see it. I could see it. The National Academy of Science can study it. You know, it's published, you know, in peer-reviewed journals, and scientists from around the world could look at it. You know, these grainy videos and blurry photographs and anecdotes about things that go bump in the sky, it's not enough. It's just not. I mean, it would be fantastic if, you know, we discovered we had been visited. It would be truly amazing. It would be so exciting. I don't think, I'm not one of those people that thinks, you know, the economy would collapse and there'd be political unrest and so on. No, I think it would be, you know, the most exciting thing ever. And, you know, scientists would be celebrating and applying for more grants. So scientists, contrary to the myths you hear, they would love to embrace this. There'd be no conspiratorial cover-up at all.
Are you confident that there are miracles that happen?
Miracles? Well, it depends what you mean by that. You know, if you mean million-to-one odds, some, you know, kind of folk, right, intuitive sense of miracles, yeah, those happen all the time. Statistically speaking, the very unlikely will happen if there's enough opportunities for it to happen. As they say, million to one odds happen 300 times in a day in America. I mean, just we're 300 million Americans. You're just going to get weird things happening. But if you mean by miracle an actual intervention by a deity into the world to alter something, no, there's no evidence for that. And that's been tested. You know, the Templeton Foundation funded a massive study at Harvard Medical about the effects of prayer on medical outcomes of heart patients and found no statistically significant difference. In fact, the prayed for group did slightly worse than the not prayed for group, although not statistically so. So there's been attempts to test that, and it hasn't borne out. There's lots of anecdotes, but the problem with anecdotes is you only hear the ones that came out, the survivorship bias. That is, the people that got prayed for and they survived. What about all the loving Christian families who prayed for their loved ones with cancer and their loved ones died, right? We don't hear about them, but that's what usually happens with cancer, unfortunately. Or, you know, the Christian soldiers who were mutilated or killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, we hear about the miracles, the handful of miracles, but never about, you know, what happens to most of them who are injured or, you know, like that. Where was God for those? So that seems to me a problem.
You might get visited this Christmas by the Christmas spirits from the Christmas Carol.
Well, if you mean my wife putting presents under the tree for me, yeah, that I hope that happens.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Does she share your same views?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She does. Okay.
Yeah.
But you were mentioning there was a time when you were younger, you didn't think the way you do today.
No, so when I was in high school, I became born again because a couple of my friends were really into it. This was 1971, and it was kind of the early stages of the evangelical movement, kind of the hippie evangelical movement, right? We had all long hair, play guitars, sang Kumbaya, and non-denominational. You know, we recognized religion wasn't that cool, but, you know, a one-on-one relationship with Jesus was. But then I took it seriously and thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I should go to a religious school. So I went to Pepperdine. I was going to originally major in theology, but I really wanted to be a college professor because I really loved that as a profession, lecturing, reading, studying, and so forth. And but to do that, you have to get a PhD in theology. You have to master four languages: Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and Latin. I could barely get through Spanish. So I realized this is probably not my skill set, right? So I switched to psychology, and that got me into science and experimental psychology and testing things. And eventually, after about 7 years, I just quietly abandoned my faith. I wasn't obnoxious about it. I think probably my family was relieved because I was constantly witnessing, which is what evangelicals do. They witness for the Lord. You go door to door, you talk to people because you want to save their souls and so on. So I have a feeling my friends and family were relieved I dropped religion.
Michael, tell us about your $1,000 challenge.
Oh my gosh, yes, right. No one's taking me up on that. Well, you know, you see all these people on social media and on TV, all the pro-UFO people going on and on about these UAP videos. A disclosure is going to happen at any moment. The government's going to tell us what they really know. And so I just simply said, all right, look, I'll put up $1,000 if you'll put up $1,000. If we can say by, say, December 31st, 2023, so, you know, a year and a half from now, I bet that the government will not be releasing any statement saying we know for sure. And by that, I mean, again, the National Academy of Sciences, the president holds a press conference and announces, you know, we have made contact. And, you know, the world's leading scientists all agree, yep, we looked at it. Here it is. It's definite, right? So if that happened, I'd be happy to fork over $1,000 because I'd be excited. That would be great. But the challenge is meant to kind of push people. How much do you actually believe this? You'll see these people on TV saying, oh, it's going to happen for sure. 100% it's going to happen in the next couple months. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't think so. So, but I got $1,000. And then, you know, no one even responds. So, you know, I don't mean it as a publicity stunt. I really, you know, happy to put, I may increase it 10 to 1. I may put up $10,000 of my own money for somebody to put up $1,000, just put it in an account that somebody else can control. And then when the date comes, you know, if it happens, then they get the money. If it doesn't happen, then I get the money.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
We've got that link for you at coasttocoastam.com under tonight's program, folks, if you want to go take a look at that. Also, your analysis of UAPs. Tell us about that, Michael.
Yes, I wrote an article for Quillette. If you just search Shermer, Quillette, comma, Shermer, UAP. So there I lay out what I think are the three hypotheses on the table. For what these videos represent, and not just these videos. I mean, we've seen films and videos for 50 years, right? You know about all those.
Sure.
And so what are they? Okay, so there's three hypotheses. Ordinary, terrestrial. And, you know, here I'll give you the list of possibilities from Leslie Keene, whom I know you know, who's a largely pro-UFOlogist, from her book, UFOs, yes. Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. Leslie Keene says that 90 to 95% of all UFO sightings can be explained as, quote, weather balloons, flares, sky lanterns, planes flying in formation, secret military aircraft, birds reflecting the sun, planes reflecting the sun, blimps, helicopters, the planets Venus or Mars, meteors, meteorites, space junk, satellites, swamp gas, spinning eddies, sun dogs, ball lightning, ice crystals, reflected light off clouds, lights off the ground, or lights reflected on a compact cockpit window, temperature inversions, hole punch clouds, the list goes on. All right, so whatever it is we're talking about, it's probably in that 95% bin. Now, the other two are also possible. I'm not saying they're impossible. The other two are extraordinary terrestrial. So this would be like Russian or Chinese. Mm-hmm. That's usually what you hear. Advanced technology, far beyond anything we have. And then the third hypothesis is extraordinary, extraterrestrial. These are aliens. So I claim that whenever somebody comes up with a new X, what is this video? What is this photograph? There's a 95% probability by the UFO people's own estimate that it's ordinary terrestrial phenomenon. Now, to put it in the other two bins, you know, we would need some extraordinary evidence for extraordinary claims. So if Russia has drones that are able to do these things, we're told that these UAP videos are showing us that they're capable of doing, we should see these now in Ukraine. They should be using this technology.
Exactly. They would use that technology. If they
yes, and they're not. We don't see anything like that in Ukraine. So that tells us, well, okay, it's probably not Russian. If it's Chinese, you would think maybe they'd use it in Taiwan or something, but, you know, who knows. And then extraordinary extraterrestrial, this would be aliens, right? Chances of aliens having something like a super fast drone seems unlikely. It's possible, but if we make contact with aliens, they're not going to be just like 50 or 100 years ahead of us. They're going to be like 100,000 or a million
or a million years, more.
I mean, they would be indistinguishable from God. I mean, they would be capable of things that we just can't even conceive of, right? So if we're, you know, this is one explanation for the Fermi paradox. Where is everybody? You know, the zoo, the kind of the cloaking zoo, you know, their secret. They are here. They're watching us, but we can't see them because maybe they're not physical beings anymore. Maybe they're, you know, on light beams or they're in the cloud or something like that. I mean, again, it's, you know, we can't even conceive of what they might be like. So you come across a new mystery. What is it? 95% chance it's in that first bin. It could be in the other two bins. Not impossible, but very unlikely.
I don't think it's Russian. I don't think it's Chinese. I don't think it's us. So if we rule that out, what's left?
Well, ordinary terrestrial. That is camera effects, Mylar balloons, you know, jet engines of a jet that's moving away from you or right directly at you. It doesn't look like it's moving. You know, I live in Southern California, so I can see planes coming into LAX and leaving LAX. And when it's in your light of sight, it's kind of weird looking because you can tell it's a plane, but it doesn't seem to be moving. And the reason is because it's coming right at you or it's going right directly away from you. And so there's a lot of effects like that. If you look at the Tic Tac video, there's a moment where the little Tic Tac blurry, again, it's probably just the heat signature of the engine of the jet moving away from the camera. But at some moment, it zooms off to the left. And these UAP UFO people make a big deal about how fast it moved off to the left. No one, except my friend McWest, who pointed this out, points out that in the upper left corner of the video, there's a thing called zoom. And it goes from 1.0 to 2.0. The camera zoomed in, double zoom, and that's what made the object move. The object didn't move at all. The camera zoomed in on it. The camera moved. In this case, the lens moved. So I think these videos are all much more likely to be just artifacts of cameras, lens, lights.
But don't you think the government would have said that, Michael?
You would think so. I'm amazed at these press conferences. I'm just quite confident that, you know, if a couple of amateurs can figure this out, surely someone in the Pentagon must know this. What I think, George, honestly, is they know perfectly well what's going on. And that just like back in the Cold War days, they didn't tell us what, you know, these Project Mogul, for example, you know, launching these balloons in the upper atmosphere to listen to Soviet upper atmosphere nuclear tests. Of course, they're not going to tell us that. Of course, they lie to the citizens, right? So I think it's going to be something like that. In 20 years, we may know. Just remember, it's like the stealth bomber. You know, this is one of the spookiest things you've ever seen. It's so cool. But if we didn't know it, you know, and you just saw this thing out in the desert at dusk some night and you didn't know about it, it would look like a UFO. But now we know about it. So I suspect it could be something like that, and they're just not telling us.
What did you think of the congressional hearing from several weeks ago?
Pretty disappointing. I mean, they didn't even show the best of the crummy videos.
No, or they didn't even have the best of the of so-called witnesses.
Terrible. It was just embarrassing. I mean, they're fumbling around trying to show that one video. I'll tell you, here's something that I noticed in the 60 Minutes piece that Bill Whitaker did on UAPs. He had Navy pilot Ryan Graves, who was one of these that saw, you know, tracked and saw a UAP. So they talked about this. And then he kind of lets drop an interesting sentence. He said he had been seeing these UAPs, quote, every day for at least a couple of years. Well, hang on.
Hello.
If that's true, given that nearly every passenger in a commercial airliner, everybody at the beach, people walking along the sidewalk near the ocean down in Oceanside there in San Diego where these things were shot, they all have high-resolution video cameras in their pockets, in their smartphones. There should be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of photos and videos of all these UAPs, and we got nothing. We got those three or four videos. That's it. So if this is true, and they're really out there buzzing our military bases or whatever, there should be just tons of videos. By the way, I'm on the Galileo Project team with Avi Loeb at Harvard. He's the head of the Harvard Astronomy Department.
Now, he's a believer.
Well, sort of. Again,
I know you hate that word, but
yeah, he's a good scientist. He says he thinks that the Oumuamua object was possibly extraterrestrial. He says he doesn't know, but he thinks it could be. I agree. It could be. So let's look. And so I like this project. I'm on the team. I support it.
Oh, that's good.
Let's set up cameras everywhere and film like crazy and figure out what the heck is going on here.
And you're not offended when people call you the skeptic, are you?
I like it. I'm proud of it. That's what I do. It's the name of my magazine.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.